Dr. Bolad's real too. You were just saying you couldn't take your wife with you. Yes, if you can continue.
I was very sorry, but I must escape suddenly. And my boy was small, my grandson was a small boy, 2.5 years old. And it was frost, snow, so I escaped myself. I came to my mother-in-law and brother-in-law, and stayed with them. And I contacted a lot, I met a lot of my friends, too many doctors, and some German have been releasing military doctors, the moving, you know, that should be practicing privately. So I was doing nothing, only working underground. You know, underground movement started straight away, giving leaflets, giving morale, burning documents, destroying some documents in the military hospital. For 3 months I was doing that. I was thinking that that war will be finished very shortly. You know, British and French forces will beat German very soon, I was thinking. That's like everybody else.
This was in 1940.
Beginning in 1940. In March 1940, my wife and my son, they came to also escape from the Green Frontier from Russian occupation to Warsaw and join me. And they escaped because she was on list to be sent to Siberia, my wife. In my parents' house, there was living one Russian major, commandant of this place where we've been living. And he told confidentially my father that your daughter-in-law is on list and the grandson on list to be sent to Siberia. Tell her to escape from here. So my wife was in hiding for 2 weeks. He would have terrible thing what she went through. And later on, she went to three barbed wire fences to escape the German occupation. People helped her, the Polish peasant helped her. And she went when they started changing guards. 7 o'clock in the morning, when they're changing the guards in Russian, she managed to escape. When my wife joined me, we decided that we must live from something, so I started to look for a job. They give me a job as GP in Minsk Mazovetsky, small place outside Minsk Mazovetsky. And I went there to work, and I joined Polish underground movement.
What kind of work did you do with the underground?
Underground, first organizing medical services. I was county director of medical services, underground movement for Minsk Mazovetsky, for this district. County of Minsk Mazovetsky.
Was the underground strong in the area?
Strong. When I was arrested, we have 35 platoons of infantry and one squadron cavalry ready to fight. I have three doctors to work. I have two underground hospital. I organized two underground hospitals.
Why was the resistance so strong in that area?
I think Polish people, they, further on in this era, was we have very good not commissioned officers a lot, yeah, because seven Polish Lancers regiment was stationed there before the war, and a lot of soldiers trained was around, and it was very patriotic place. 35 we have platoons of infantry. Only not enough gun. Father, what have you been doing? Father, on, we have as well a radio communication with London. You know, and so the German can discover where is the radio. So one platoon was always around the forest going on with the radio. So what I was doing, when somebody was ill, normally I was going to treat him, to the forest. Father, I must examine to enlist because some young boys have been joining. I must enlist to examine the fit to be enlisted, and that's what my job is to do. Sometimes I was doing under intelligence service as well. This, as a doctor, I was a district doctor as well, have posts there. And I was in contact with Germans. In this region, I've been land estates. The Germans took over all land estates and took Germans
in that place.
In the place as managers. The Polish peasant working there. And I was doctor going there very often. As the time going, I have contact with the Germans. So they ask me sometimes to do something extra with Germans, and I know what is going on. For example, when we were organizing Treblinka camp, they threw from some village, Polish people, throw them away and bring this camp. So rumor is going that they will throw all this around book about, you know, 10 or 12 villages or more, they throw all Polish people out from there. And they don't know what they do then. Resistance, the people like to resist. So they demanded from our commanders, you know, from the ground movement, if they like us to, you know, to displace from our homes and so on, we like to fight. We'll die here, we'll not go from here. So if this is the case, we must prepare arms. And, you know, we cannot send arms if you're not equipped there. So I asked the Germans, what about that? And they told me that nothing could happen, except only one place. One village will be one.
So they were moving the villagers to build Treblinka
camp? It'd be one village, they move one village. But being afraid, present being afraid, they move a lot of villages. So they don't like to be moved, they like to fight and not go from there. We are underground movement, we must fight. This is the idea.
Did you see the Germans building Treblinka?
No. And I was about 60 to 80 kilometers from Treblinka, my places. When German army was going to the east before they fell, it was very, very well organized.
What happened next?
So that was going on for 4 years. I was working, helping, you know, and so on, people. They're treating people, and my wife was living with the son with me. And
did the Germans have much success against the Polish underground in the area?
They know that it's underground there, but they don't know. They cannot catch anyone. Sometimes they arrested, but they cannot prove anything. By example, I will tell you. One day. German woman, she was wife of one manager of one land estate, came to me and asked me to take me to the estate to examine some people there, been ill. And I went with her in the carriage, you know, horse carriage, been going on. And this time they've been killing Jewish people. And when passing by on the road, you know, and we saw about 12 or maybe more people, Jewish people, standing near the trench, and German killing them. When she saw that, she started to cry, this German woman. And she said to me, "Doctor, you know, what they are doing? You know, they are killing the Jewish people. Terrible, that's terrible. You destroy all. You must be underground movement," she said to me, "because you are a nice man. Nice man, Polish nice man, you must be underground movement." She told me, "You kill us all." I said, "Why kill you and your husband? Because you are very good people. They are good people then. Nobody has nothing to say about you. Don't be afraid, nothing happens to you."
How were they killing the Jews?
Shooting in the back.
Back of the head.
Back of the head. Trench, they dig the trench first, and later kill them. Back of the head.
Was that the only time you saw them killing the Jews?
When they killing them, yes, I saw that. I saw them, they tried another day, I would tell you. When they kill his Basi, I see once. But before, my wife was going to Warsaw one day. You know, going to Warsaw from our place. And our place, some part of ghetto, Jewish people living. And it was frost, snow. And I was passing by with my wife, and one German gendarme. And you know, in small place, know each other very well. And he said to me, "Doctor, very nice day for hunting." "Yes," I said, "you know, the hunting, you can see the trace when the rabbit going comes out." "Yes," I said. And he took the hand and shot the Jew. I saw that as well. And I saw when they taking to the, you know, away with her blinker to the, I saw that. I saw that. Further on, one day came Jew for me to dress him. He was shot down, and bullet came here, and he was alive.
Shot through his mouth.
Through his mouth. And he was alive. And he came to me to dress him.
Which year was it when you saw them shooting the Jews in the back of the neck?
I was in the carriage on the road. And this is near the road happens.
But which year was it? Which year?
Year of, that was 1943.
And when they were taking them to Treblinka, what did it look like?
It was terrible. They are taking terrible because they are gathered them on a very big place. Our house was next to the ghetto where the Jewish people lived. So they gathered him in one place. And later on, they are allowed to take them very little with them. Not much. They have no water, nothing to drink. The chairman of council, of Jewish council, he came to ask for water. They allowed him to come to water. And he was carrying water to get the water to drink. And I asked him, "Mr. Pinkranich, beautiful village," was his name. Funny name, beautiful village. I said to him, "Escape, please. You can have chance to escape now." And he said, "How I can escape when my people are dying? I will die with my people."
Were the Polish resistance giving any help to the Jews?
No, we cannot give help because we have not much ammunition and we cannot give help. Unable to give any help.
Were you getting any arms supplies from Britain?
Yes, but it's not enough.
How did they come?
By plane. Drop.
Parachute?
Parachute. Parachute. And every stem guns, ammunition. Very often with some, you know, my messenger, somebody dropped as well, man. And normally, and $5,000.
So you got some agents coming from from UK?
UK, yes.
Were they Polish or British?
Polish and British. Polish and British.
Do you remember any of them personally?
I met them in prison, but not then, because I was not meeting as a medical officer now. But, you know, I know I was friendly with the commanding officer of the district, So I know from him. And every drop was $5,000, like dollars or pounds, the drop. Ammunition, that and $5,000.
Who was the commanding officer?
What is his name? His Polish officer. Cavalry officer.
Can you tell me anything about him?
He was killed by a Russian.
You're saying the commanding officer was killed by the Russians. Was that after the war?
Killed in my battleship during 1945, 1944, when they occupied Poland.
You were going to tell me a story that you'd missed out about Warsaw.
Small story. I go to Warsaw by bus, and coming back to my place, I have a bike. On Minsk, Mazowiecki, I got up on the bike and came to our place, underground movement, when we have always headquarters. We have our own headquarters there. And I came there, I left my bike there. And this officer there said, look, we didn't send anyone. We receive instruction of stun gun. They've been dropped on stun gun. And take the instruction and give for this platoon officer there, platoon commander, in your place. I said, okay, give me. But I didn't put to the book what I put to the here.
In your sock?
In my sock. I was driving, on the bike, going bike, German patrol infantry, and searching everyone. I cannot go back because they know that I have something. I must go. I went straight away to them, and happens that I know one. The one German policeman. And he said to the other, look, doctor, nice to see you. And he said to the other, look, this doctor treating people, poor people without money. Not many doctors like that. Doctor will not go on the bike. Come on our car. Sit on our car, and we will take your bike, and we take you home.
And you had some incriminating evidence in your sock, but they didn't search you.
No.
Now, can you tell me how you came to be arrested on the 12th? How you came to be arrested on the 12th of February, 1944?
That was January 1944. Soldier taking messages, riding bike and snowing. So German have suspicion. What happens? That he's riding on this and snowing and riding with a bike. They stopped him, searched him, and they found the messages. And they beat him, their letters, no letters, at the underground moment. They beat him and they asked him where he delivered their letters. And he gave names under the, torture. And he said that he brought a letter once to me.
And this was the 12th of February, I think.
12th of February. They arrested me 12th of February.
Can you describe the scene when they came?
They surrounded our house with guns around. Knocked the door. Ask hand up. I must hold my hands up. They said everything. And wife as well. We have two children. One boy died in Poland. So two boys and servant. Everyone said us. You see, and me, and they found only one underground leaflets. They found one. So when they interrogated me, they asked me that the one man who arrested me was medical student, German, Gestapo. He told me, I am a medical student. I can help you to tell you that he'd been arrested because the man said that he brought letter to him. This German setting, this stuff, when nobody heard me. So I know what to say. When they ask me, do you belong to underground movement? No. I said, have you heard underground movement? I heard that underground movement, I know. Do you have contact? I sent a letter to me once. I said to him, what kind of letter? I said, they demand money. What kind of money? They demand money they should give for underground movement. Who's supposed to collect? No, I said, nobody, but the cross is on the street there to put under the cross, on the sun grid. They asked me to do that. And they beat me, but I said all the time, when they asked, beat me, I lost a few teeth then, but I said always the same. Always the same. But they arrested us 50 people. Ammunition officer was arrested as well. It was dropped from England. And they found two stem guns, different, you know, ammunition, other guns and so on. So he was shot down straight away.
Did you tell them that you had given money?
I told them that I had given money, yes. That, but I don't know nothing about them. They said I should report them. I should report. I said, no, I don't know where I should report. I'd be quiet, little bit, be quiet. So I shut them up. They'd been arrested 35. They interrogated, they took us in the prison, in one corridor, and with guns, some with guns around, and they put me first to examine, first one. And I knew a lot of them, this my boys, young boys. And they said, and when I said that I don't know to jump with everyone and so on and so on, they beat me and they took me and they throw to the door, you know, throw to the door. The door opened and I fall on the floor. And they said, everybody will be beaten like that, will say, who does not know what is underground movement. They said that. Everybody will be beaten, like this dog. He said, like this dog. So, nobody let you associate with me. You know, that is very good for me, I said. And nobody said anything about me. But they counted, they knew a lot. They some admitted the underground movement. They've been members of underground movement. One was officer who was teaching, not commissioned officer, we have school. This military school as well, and he was arrested as well. And so from these 50 people, 5 been released. Further on, 38 have been shot down. And you know, others like me, concentration camp. From 26, I think, or 28, been underground movement, 10 communists, because communists, they have days. But when they came arrested our officer, information officer, in underground movement, he had list all communists on his desk. So they arrested communists as well. They communists did not know what happened, why they arrested, but this is the reason.
Where were you interrogated? Which town?
Warsaw.
In Warsaw?
Warsaw, yes. In Target.
How long were you in that prison?
To 1st of July, from April to 1st of July. But when I was there, it's not finished yet, my work. When I was in prison, after 2 or 3 days, when I was sitting in the cell, small room like this one, 13 people. 13 people have been there. Terrible. 3 days. When they took us, you know, to toilet, one was Schreiber, I was a clerk of this ward in the prison, Jew, who spoke English, French, German, and Polish. And he looked at me and he said, I know you. You are a medical officer from this regiment, from Benzin. Yes, sir. I said, yes. And I, do you remember me? He said, I am Bergman. He was the owner, a Jewish owner of big steelworks. And I knew him by sight. And he said, I help you. Because the German need him, because he knows all languages. But there was a British prisoner of war there as well, sitting, and he knew English. He spoke English quite well.
So he was working as an interpreter for the Gestapo?
For the Gestapo. I'm a prisoner, as prisoner. So I will employ you to clean the floor on the corridor. So after 3 days, I was employed as cleaner of corridor. That was big help because I did not sell for sale, but I go, wherever I've been on corridor. After a week, they came order from our headquarters, underground movement, to our cell in prison to employ me as a doctor. Underground movement. So underground movement moved me. Then the chief doctor, Polish doctor, prisoner, was sentenced death to life imprisonment, and he was in prison there. And he said, I need Dr. Bolac, I know him very well, good doctor, to the Gestapo. I need that he'll be employed to examine all prisoners who are coming to the to prison. And the German Gestapo agreed. And I was employed as a doctor in prison.
What kind of conditions were you treating in the prison?
I was looking for cleanness. The lodging is on, and so on, examining everyone. That was my duty. And if somebody knew to examine him and ask, send him to the hospital, go to the hospital there, to take him from the ward to the hospital.
But you were treating the prisoners, not the staff?
Prisoner. Only prisoner.
What was the name of the prison?
Pagak.
Were you getting proper food and water?
Yes. Food and water we have. And parcel we have parcel. My wife sent me parcels, a very good parcel. So when the parcel came, the German check out that parcel. And it's very, no guns, nothing there, Even the Gestapo man said to me, why is there good food? I haven't seen meat for a long time. No ham. He said, I haven't seen ham. Your wife sent you ham. Where from she has ham? I said, I don't know. But the water is enough. Father, on been three of us working, three doctors to examine every prisoner. Our underground movement there. Report who coming there with the father on, and sent messages for them. And so,